You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's the next on the agenda. I am so sorry. Before we have the third song, it's turned to 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 28. 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 24 through 28. Verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall be delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And Lord, we pray that you add your blessing to this, your reading of your holy word, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Wow, it's great to see you guys here. And we have come to the end of the semester, and all we need to do is just upload the grades. Good news and bad news for students. And mostly good news, I hope. I haven't quite finished all of that, but mostly it's done. And it's nice to come to an end of a semester and think that we've got a little bit of a breather before the next semester begins, because you always need that little bit of a break. Come aside, says the Lord, and rest a while. And that is very important, to get that rest. And we are certainly enjoying everything on our property, including the birds. We've got now more feeders on our windows. So our house is turning into some sort of, perching place for birds. So there's all sorts of white muck everywhere around the place. I'm going to have to clean it up. And we've even attracted a raccoon. There's a raccoon who likes to try and get into the feeders. And he can't get into some of them because we've got some provisions to stop him, cones and things like that. But there's on my window, he can get on the ledge and then reach up. And one night I heard this scratching sound on the window. And there's this raccoon. And I came right up to him. With the flashlight is off, and then I put my head right up to the window and turn it on, and he went hush, and off he went. And I don't have anything against these raccoons; I quite like them, but I don't think they're the sort of thing you can just immediately make a pet out of. I think they'll probably take some fingers off and whatever else in the process if you tried. But maybe if you had a baby one, you could raise it and make a pet out of it. It's quite a pretty animal, really. Well, anyway, let's not talk about raccoons. So we're into this topic. I'm going to make a series out of it, the ends, and we'll begin today with some, more or less, an introduction to it. So let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this opportunity to meet together, to open the scriptures and learn more of thy holy word. We ask you to bless this series in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, isn't that an interesting way to write this? I mean, the end, you might expect. The end. There's the beginning, and then there is the end. But it's interesting that in the scriptures, as we read in 1 Corinthians, there's a portion there where it talks about the ends of the world. That's how it's translated. The ends, plural. The ends. And I want to look at that because I think this has a magnificent application to us. And just think about when you plan things, when you're planning various things, you have a whole lot of ideas that you want to tie together. And you'll tie these different ideas together, and perhaps you put these together and you work them all together, and finally you come to an end once it's done. And this one might take time. It may go through some amount of time and effort in synthesizing all these different ideas and bringing it to a conclusion, so that when we talk about the end, we think often in terms of a goal. There's a goal in mind, and then once that goal has been reached, then that has to be put into a context, because time continues. And once this goal is reached, then what happens is there's all kinds of applications of this. So that when you think about this idea of an end, you've got to think in terms of, yes, there is an end in a sense, but it's really the beginning of something new. You hit the goal, and then there's something new that comes from it. And this idea is expressed for a Greek word, which is called telos. And we use telos a lot in English words. Telephone, telegram, and telephone is the voice at a distance. You speak on one end, and at the other end, it's received. You imagine the first time that happened with the telephone. Wasn't it an amazing thing? Wow, a telephone. You can speak to someone over in Chicago or London or maybe down in New Zealand even. You can speak and it's received. Of course, these days we go even further, because we can have video conferencing and you can just see in color in real time what's going on and speak to someone. And that's an amazing achievement. So the idea of a telos, an end coming through time, through space, achieving something, but then once that's achieved, it's put into a setting and used in some way. Just go across to the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. So Daniel is a wonderful book. We may have to spend a bit of time getting in back into Daniel. But Daniel chapter 9 is one of these great chapters which puts together a lot of prophetical ideas. And it read this in Daniel 9 verse 24. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish. Oh, now finishing. To finish the transgression. Wonderful man. Plans put in place by God, spoken through a prophet, and revealing something about finishing. A finishing. You know, I'm not a great artist, but we do have a great artist here. When you have a painting of any description, and you get to that point where you can say it's finished, you better not put another stroke on that painting. You better not try and add something to it, because in adding to it, you'll take away from it. Now, it's often in the sight of the artist. The artist will know when it's finished and will say, yep, it's finished. I've spent this amount of time on it. I know what I wanted to achieve. Along the way, I made some mistakes and I covered it over, you know, and I finally got there and it's finished. We say that. We even use those words. It's finished. And, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, it is finished. And in that context, it means it's paid in full. It's paid in full. And you can't take away from that. Now, people will often try and take away from it. And they'll do so by saying, oh no, actually what I need to do to complete the salvation is I've got to be baptized, or I've got to be involved with some religious ceremony. I've got to listen to some religious figure and fulfill the requirements that this religious figure says, and then I will be complete. The Apostle Paul says, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We can thank God for a completed book. Now, people want to add to this book. They want to subtract from this book. In so doing, they will destroy the witness of God. And so this idea, it's pervasive. As I started to study this, I realized that I'd just hidden on something that is really important in the Scriptures. This idea of an end, a goal, a telos. And so in Daniel 9:25-24 it says, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. Oh, man. Look at what's happening in the world through sin. We are just seeing it left, right, and center all the time, aren't we? And to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. But this is just what we're talking about here, right? There's a goal, there's an end, and it doesn't stop there. With that goal, there comes fruition and some great things. Bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Look at verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince. Man, isn't this exciting to see the Messiah mentioned right here in this context of coming to fruition and blessing and bringing in everlasting righteousness? Unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Oh, man. Prophecy of the death of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Talking about the time of Antichrist and the coming of a time of great persecution after the death of Christ, Messiah. So, you can see a contextualization that yes, these things will happen, there is an end, and after that end will come this great everlasting righteousness. Go across to the book of Luke now. So I'm interested in this because, first of all, there's a context of prophecy. And if you are interested in the Bible, you've got to be interested in prophecy to some degree because it's everywhere. But more importantly, I am interested in understanding where we fit in terms of prophecy. So if you look at prophecy, it's through the Scriptures. And then what happens is there is the mystery, which is given a little bit later on. After the book of Acts, you find that the mystery is given, and Paul talks about it in different places. Let's have a look now at Luke chapter number 1. And let's see, we're going to read... Oh, this is such a fantastic chapter. It's got everything to do with Christmas, as a lot of people see it. Now, Christmas has... being popularized and turned around and made to be all sorts of different things. Even the word Christ Mass has something in there that shows you its connection with that which is not scriptural. But the idea of the birth of Christ is scriptural. The coming of Jesus Christ is a part of the teaching of the end. The end. And we're going to see that there are ends. Let's have a look at Luke chapter number 1. And this is about Mary's Magnificat. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. In God my Savior. Now, I don't know about you, but we like to watch some of these Christmas Hallmark love story things. Sometimes they're good, right? And sometimes they are an abomination. There was one we watched recently which was about, it's a cowboy version of this sort of stuff. And I said to Seb, you know, it's an interesting story, you know. But it was about this cowboy angel. And this cowboy angel, he apparently he hadn't quite made it. So it started off on this, it was funny, but it started off on a wrong premise. And that was, the premise was work salvation. You see? You know, that was the basis. And then the other part of it was that there was a little family that was praying, and the family was praying to Mary. You see? So just about all of the basics of Christianity perverted was in the Bible. In the story, which was supposed to be about the Bible. So anyway, I'm just saying. So in this context here, you notice in verse 47, now my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary needs a Savior. You know, she needs a Savior. Who needs a Savior? Well, someone who's a sinner. Mary was a sinner, just like you and I. She was fallen creature. And it says in verse 48, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and his holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. So this is good, wise statements. Verse 51, he has showed strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, he hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. She was with Elizabeth. And it's a very interesting story and a very interesting statement made by Mary. And you'll notice the strong part here in verse 55, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. So within the context of Jesus coming, it's the statement of Mary that this is entirely a part of Israel's blessing and Israel's promises. Daniel also talks about the Messiah in context, in the same context with Israel. Okay, coming down here. Now I want you to go across now to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm trying to contextualize this a little bit so you see where we're coming to in this study of the end and the ends. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is a tremendous chapter. And he starts in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers, so interesting, all our fathers. Mary, when she's talking about the promises given to her, relate to Israel, part of the prophecy given to Israel, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. Now what's interesting here is that in this context of 1 Corinthians, you would expect Paul to be majoring on the Gentiles. But notice in this chapter, he talks about all our fathers. And he says who they were, because it says, we're under the cloud and all pass through the sea, and we're all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Well, that's not the Gentiles. Very clearly, not the Gentiles. And did eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, Messiah. Daniel talks about the Messiah, talks about the end, the bringing in everlasting righteousness. It also talks about how we're going to get there, and that's going to be through some tribulation before all this righteousness will come in. And did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now notice that there is an example here about practice, deportment, how you should live, righteousness, things you shouldn't do, things you should do. And it says, verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And you can see what sort of play they did by going back to the book of Exodus and seeing the kind of things they got involved with, which, you know, I'm not going to go through in detail now, but you can imagine. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Practical things, things to do with morality. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Warning a man, because judgment can come on you when you become disobedient. Now, verse 11 is the one that I want you to see. It says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. Now, where it says ensamples, it's the word tupoi, right here, tupos. The word tupos, it has to do with this idea of a type. Yeah, examples, but a special type of examples. They're types. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, the ends, unto whom, tetele, that's the plural of telos, the ends, ton, ionon, that's plural, the ends of the ages are come. The ends of the ages are come, upon whom the ends, now let's read it again. Now all these things happen unto them for types, examples, special types of examples, types, and they are written for who? Our, Paul, Paul's included, but our in a context of the book of Acts. Our admonition upon whom, that's us, and not us here, but us in the book of Acts, right? Paul and those with him. Upon whom the ends of the ages are yet to come? No, are come. Happening then. The ends of the ages are happening to Paul and those with him, the Corinthians and the believers at that time, are come. It's happening. Whoa, that is really amazing, isn't it? So over here, if I put the Acts, where we can find 1 Corinthians written, we have the ends of the ages. They're coming. They're happening. They're being carried out. Now we can see from these things that happened to Israel that there are things in there which you can learn about concerning everyday things of morality. You can see that disobedience to God's commands, God's law, God's standard of righteousness will be met with judgment. That's what we see. What do you think is going to happen to this country if it continues on with what it's doing? You think that God is going, oh, that's all right. No, that's not going to happen, my friends. There's going to come serious judgment. You know it's going to happen. It cannot continue. There will be judgment coming. And it says here, if you look at verse 11, all these things happened unto them, that's the nation of Israel, four types. There's a typology in the movement of Israel as it wandered through the desert, as it was obedient and disobedient in the sight of God's prophets. There are types and pictures that we can learn from. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Boy, that's amazing. So, I want to draw a little picture. Here is my fantastic picture here. You got all these ages. There are ages. Yes, there are ages in the Bible. Whether you can find them all or not, they are there. And they have a goal. There's a goal in mind. These ends. And they were coming about in the book of Acts, during this time when Paul was ministering and doing these things and carrying out all kinds of examples in terms of his own gifts, his preaching and his teaching, going on in the book of Acts. Now we know that has a goal, right? There's a goal to this. And with that goal, there was to be brought in everlasting righteousness. We know from what Daniel says and what John says in the book of Revelation, there's got to be a time of tribulation before that's going to take place. In other words, Israel has to be spanked because it's being disobedient. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth. Did you used to whack your kids when they were naughty? I got whacked from my dad, and I deserved it. I deserved getting it. Now, we used to have corporal punishment in schools, too. I won't go through all the details of what we have. It was pretty severe at times. It was severe. Because we inherited a lot of the English idea of punishment for kids. And I'm not saying anything negative against it, in a general sense, but there are specific times when they went too far, right? They did. They went too far. But as a general statement, I think corporal punishment is legit and is right. I think probably, I don't know whether they still have that in some schools here. Is that all out now in private schools as well? But anyway, I used to paddle them and stuff like that. It was nothing. Just a paddle on the backside. Big deal, you know. And they'd bring in the parent. Normally what they'd do is they'd bring in the parent, and the parent would say, yeah, Johnny, what'd you do that for? Yeah, you deserve one. Then after he's finished, I want to give one too. And they'd deal with it like that, which I think is the safest way of dealing with it. But in the same with Israel, disobedient, then God's going to give Israel a hiding. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. And man, he is going to give them the hiding of their life. Such as never been a hiding like it before. Neither will there be afterwards. And it's going to involve all the world. It's going to happen. And then after that, what has to happen is there must be brought in this wonderful truth of God's righteousness. And he shall reign with a rod of iron. You think the world is going to be all nice and obedient under Jesus Christ when he reigns from Jerusalem? No, they're going to get uppity again. You wouldn't believe it, would you? Yeah, they will. Well, you do believe it because you can see this sort of thing happening today. They won't learn. People don't learn. They don't learn. They're thick as bricks, man. They will not learn. And so what's going to happen is going to be a tremendous amount of discipline taking place at the end of the millennial reign. So that means, of course, whenever you've got a goal in mind, all right, and something happens, either that goal is not completely reached, then, or it is reached and something is put in place. Either way, there's got to be some sort of boundary. There's got to be a boundary in there. Here we got a picture. Some of the letters are missing here. Leaving USA, stop and report to Canadian Customs. Whenever you go from one country to another, you've got to go through a border. And we've got a very interesting border situation at the moment. The idea is, don't worry about borders. You know. Let's not worry about having a border. I mean, you wouldn't live like that, would you? Would you? Would you just, you know, your front door? You're not going to put a lock on it. Just leave it open when you go to sleep at night. No, just leave the door open. Don't think so. Any rational human being is going to have the door locked and a shotgun under the bed too. Okay. So I want to investigate a word here. This is the word apoluo, and it has many contexts. In some cases, it means when a debtor is set free, or it's used of a divorce, someone sent away in divorce, of a crowd, assembly dismissed, and sometimes of death, sent away in death. Now, if you look at this, so we're interested in borders. As people who want to rightly divide the word of truth, we understand there is a goal in mind, and that goal is either going to come to fruition, in which case afterwards we should see all sorts of wonderful things happen, or it doesn't happen because of rebellion, and God then puts in place some other purpose. If that happens, there's got to be a boundary. You've got to go past a border. And this comes from Acts 28. Just have a look at Acts 28 with me, and I'll stop here. This is going to be the start of a series of messages we're going to have on this, the ends of the ages. So here in Acts 28, in verse 25, it says, "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed." See that word departed there? That's apoluo. They departed after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. So apoluo can mean to divorce. Okay? So if you put that in there, and when they agreed not among themselves, they were divorced after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost. Okay? So that's many people who believe that the Acts 28 is this strong boundary. I believe it's a boundary, but they believe this is the boundary from where the mystery was revealed. And they'll use that idea of apoluo here to mean divorce strictly. And so what you should do is have a look in your Bible at its usage. In Acts, it generally means, up till that verse, it just means to be dismissed. But have a look at Matthew 1:19 with me, and we'll show you this verse, and then I'll stop. And I'll regain this next time as we open up the scriptures to learn more and more about this whole business of the ends. Because I think it's important. It's going to be a very important study to us. So in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19, it says this. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. He's a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example. This, to me, is a very strong indication of Joseph's love for her. You know, he finds out that Mary's with child. Now, wait a minute, let's put this into a modern context. I know that's not going to work exactly, but put it into a modern context. Okay, so this woman, you love, there's been no intimate relationship between you and her, but she's got a baby. What are you going to do? Well, probably that's the end, right? That's it. But look at this man. Not willing to make her a public example, was minded that in his mind, this is what he thought to do, to put her away. Yes, he was going to divorce her, but he was not going to have her stoned to death, anything like that. No. He was going to do this privately, secretly. Right? Now look at this, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he listened to that, and of course, we understand the story from there on. But the point is, this is the first place that this apoluo is used, right? Where it says, he was minded to put her away. Put her away. That's the divorce. That's the apoluo. That's the first usage. Now, don't you think that's an amazing usage? So the first usage of this word, which does mean divorce, but in its context mean he was minded to do this, but did not do it. He was minded to do it, but he didn't do it. Now, what about Acts 28? Put that into the context, that God was minded to put Israel away, divorce them, but did not do it. You see, he didn't do it. This was a massive warning to Israel. Well, we'll continue this next time. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for the book of books. It speaks to us so many great things. We thank thee for this time of Christmas, Lord, when we can remember the birth of Christ and the goal that was in his coming and his death, burial, and resurrection, all that was achieved for us. And Lord, we ask your blessing on this service and during this time, that we'd see safety in the country, good leaders being brought up, Lord. And we pray for those who are unwell in hospital, Lord, that your spirit will work in their lives and bring them out of there in safety and health. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.